Chapter 1. I didn't see any signs of the two supervillains in the park, but I knew they had to be here, and I knew they would have to show themselves, sooner or later. I just hoped it would be sooner. I had already thought of half a dozen improvements that I wanted to make to my suit, plus to the suit of my superpowered girlfriend, and that didn't even count what I had in mind for my assistant. But I couldn't afford to think about that too much right now, because we had two supervillains to kill, and at the moment, they had decided to play an irritating game of hide-and-seek. "Eileen, are there any signs of them from the security camera footage across the street?" I asked, as I leaned forward and peered through the windshield of my soccer mom van.
"One moment,"
the sultry voice of my AI responded in my ear.
"It's almost like they're afraid of us,"
my girlfriend, Elizabeth, said as she flexed her fingers into tight fists.
"You mean they're afraid of a random van that just came up and parked at the edge of the park?"
Norma, my mousy assistant, laughed.
"I doubt they have any idea who's in there." "Oh!"
Penumbra said from the far back of the van.
"It's like one of those movies where we're like the FBI, you know? And we're after the bad guys, but we just have to wait in a little secret van."
"Yeah, except the FBI might actually try to arrest them, but we're just going to kill them."
"Well, other than that, I guess it's like we're the FBI."
"I have taken over all the security cameras around the perimeter of the park,"
my robotic assistant said.
"And I detect movement in the treetops in the southeastern quadrant of the park."
And what quadrant are we in?"
Penumbra asked as she pulled her long blonde hair up into a ponytail. "The eastern one." "No other movement, Eileen? And do you have eyes on any civilians?"
"No civilians,"
my robotic assistant said.
"They have all fled the park, but they are standing in groups along the street itself."
"Oh, then let's give them a good show," I growled and started to open the door of the van.
"Hold on, Miles,"
Elizabeth said as she reached forward to lay her hand on my arm.
"Shouldn't we be a little careful about how many people see us in action? We don't want civilians to actually see us kill them, do we?"
"Oh, we can kill them out of sight, but with everything that's happened in the last week, I really fucking doubt they would mind if we did kill them right out in public."
"Grayville has had a rough week since the Shadow Knight's death,"
my assistant agreed as she pushed her oversized glasses up her nose. "Norma's right about that. Crime has skyrocketed since all the supervillains in town heard about the Shadow Knight's death. But I knew that would happen. That's exactly why we've been so busy for the last couple of days."
"Well, it has helped restore Grayville's trust in us. Even Optimo's smear campaign against the evil genius hasn't done well since we started getting rid of all the supervillains who decide to cause us any problems."
"Exactly," I said as I smiled at my gorgeous girlfriend. The only thing better than my nickname of Evil Genius was when I heard Elizabeth, also known by the superhero name of Dynamo, say it. It sounded even sexier to hear my name on the lips of such a beautiful and powerful woman. Elizabeth smiled back at me now, and the expression softened her whole face. She often looked very stern to the rest of the world, but whenever she looked at me, she smiled and blinked her long eyelashes at me. When she smiled at me like that, it always felt like she was picturing ripping the high-tech suit that I had designed for her right off her body so that I could lick every inch of her pale skin. And to be honest, that was what I thought about every time I looked at her, too. Sure, I had designed her suit to be practical and protective so it could amplify her super strength and serve as an extra shield between her and our enemies, since, after all, Dynamo might have regenerative abilities, but she could still get hurt. But I had also made sure that her suit was still sexy at the same time, so the tops of her creamy white thighs were exposed below the suit itself, and before her reinforced boots started just above her knees.
Miles?
Norma cleared her throat, and I realized that I had missed whatever my mousy assistant just said.
I said, are you ready?
I'm always ready. Everybody knows the plan?
I stay up in the air, try to get Hoppy and Vulture out of the trees, and if they stay in the same place long enough, I can use my powers to change their mass and drop them to the ground.
Good girl. Norma, Elizabeth.
I'll stay right beside you for as long as you need me.
My assistant replied, and then started to blush.
You know, so I can watch your back.
Of course. I said with a grin, for as long as I need you.
And I'll try to distract them and get both supervillains to engage me in a fight.
Elizabeth said as she stretched out her long, well-muscled legs.
You'll sneak up behind them, and then we should be able to take them down together.
Movement in the Southeast Park Quadrant is beginning to shift in your direction.
Eileen said calmly into our comms.
Then we better shift our asses out of this van.
Still, working on your one-liners, are you? I smirked.
Don't tell me. We need to workshop it, right?
Something like that. Eileen, keep us posted on any movements you detect through the security cams. Everybody else, come with me. I had decided to leave my robotic assistant behind in my Grayville mansion so she could run everything for us remotely. She would, eventually, come on missions with us, but I wanted to do a few more tweaks to her skin before I brought her out into public, and until then she could do everything we needed from the mansion. I opened the front door of the van at the same time that my black-haired girlfriend slid open the side door. After Elizabeth and I jumped to the ground, Norma and Penumbra hurried out the door to join us, and then I led the way toward the southeastern quadrant of the city park. As soon as I started to run toward Harpy and Vulture's last known locations, I felt my muscles groan at the movement. There hadn't been much downtime between fights during the last week, so I could feel how much my body wanted a long, hot soak in the tub. Oh, preferably with my superpowered girlfriend in my lap, of course. After we fought Harpy and Vulture, we might finally be able to get in a little R&R, but based on what I knew about our next two supervillains, our second fight of the day promised to be harder than our first. We had already killed the villain Voltage that morning, but we'd barely had time to wipe the blood off of our suits before Eileen had informed us about another attack at the main city park in Grayville. Harpy and Vulture had always worked alone before, and one of them wouldn't have been too bad, but it would be much more difficult to take out two aerial villains at the same time. Harpy was known for her quick attacks, since she could spring down from any high position and then fly back into the air before anyone could stop her. She didn't have any wings, so how she flew was something of a mystery, but it gave her the advantage of looking like a regular human, and that was exactly how she was able to sneak up on new or expectant mothers. I never saw her coming until it was too late. And by then, Harpy had already triggered the razor-sharp metal spikes in her skin and made her victims bleed to death. She didn't normally work with anyone, since she preferred her little sneak attacks, but apparently, Harpy had made an exception today to work with Vulture. Vulture did have wings, and he was able to shift his feet back and forth between huge talons and normal feet, so any time he dive-bombed one of his random victims, usually some old person who had gone out to birdwatch or some shit, he could rip their throats out with his talons and then disappear before anyone could call the cops. I didn't like that these two assholes had suddenly decided to team up together. In fact, I was goddamn suspicious of it, but I would have to figure out why later. Right now, we just needed to find them and put them down. Go ahead, up into the air, I told Penumbra as we approached the thick cluster of trees ahead. See if you can see them from above, but be careful that they don't fly up and attack you.
I'm on it, Miles,
the blonde superheroine replied, and then she floated up high above us. You lead the way now, Elizabeth. Norma and I will be right behind you. Dynamo flexed her fingers, looked up at a rustle from one of the trees in front of us, and then she sprinted forward to draw the supervillain's attention. The distraction worked like a fucking charm. Harpy and Vulture both plunged down from the treetops toward Dynamo at the same time, and they both moved so fast that my girlfriend only managed to get one punch in before the supervillains both flew back up into the air, perched on a high limb, and then dove right back down again. Well, this definitely wouldn't be an easy fight. Both villains were fast, so our best hope was to get them separated from each other so we could take them down more easily. Of course, that plan was slightly complicated by the fact that both villains could fly, but then again, they probably hadn't thought that four of us would show up to fight them. After all, they were used to dealing with the Shadow Knight, and he had always prided himself on the fact that he almost always worked alone. Even when he worked with his silver squires, he never gave them enough weapons or knowledge to actually help them, so the Shadow Knight could continue to be Greyville's only superhero. Well, he had been Greyville's only superhero, right up until he went insane and we killed him. I gestured for Norma to go left, while I moved to the closest tree on the right. I wanted to hide behind the trunk for just a minute so I could analyze the supervillain's attacks on Dynamo, and then I would know the best way to strike back against them. The next time they swooped down from the trees, Harpy was half a second ahead of Vulture. As soon as Harpy landed on the ground beside Dynamo, she hissed, and all the pores in her skin immediately erupted into tiny, sharp spikes. She barreled forward into my girlfriend, but Dynamo's suit protected her from the spikes, and she managed to land a solid punch on Harpy's spiked chin before the supervillain flew back into the trees. Vulture didn't bother to land beside Elizabeth before he attacked her. Instead, as he flew to the ground, he stretched out his feet until they shifted and turned into massive talons. He aimed them directly at Dynamo's neck, but the blue-eyed brunette had reflexes just as fast as Vulture's were. So she rolled forward, grabbed a rock from the ground, and lobbed it backward at Vulture's head. The rock grazed the feathers along the side of his head, but Vulture dodged the worst of it and then flew back up into the trees with Harpy. That was the problem with the fact that these two assholes had attacked civilians in the park. There were way too many places for them to hide, and the thick wooded area let them fly up and down constantly, but remain hidden every time. "How's it going up top, Penumbra?" I whispered into the comms.
"They won't stay still long enough for me to lock onto them. I keep trying, but every time I almost get them, they fly back down to the ground. I've got the same problem. They're so fast that I can hardly get a punch in before they head right back up to the trees."
"All right, we'll have to deploy the webbing. Norma, I want you to..."
"Incoming,"
Eileen said calmly.
"Incoming what?"
Elizabeth demanded.
"There appears to be another supervillain headed your way,"
my robotic assistant said.
"He is flying straight toward you, and he should be there in 3, 2, now."
On Eileen's cue, a third figure flew into view overhead and dove down through the trees toward Elizabeth. Before he could even reach her, Penumbra darted down to intercept him, grabbed the back of his collar, and hauled him back up into the air. He twisted out of her grip, but it was enough to distract him away from Dynamo. He immediately turned toward Penumbra in the middle of the air and tried to throw a punch, but she floated back just out of reach.
"The new arrival appears to be Swallow,"
Eileen announced.
"His appearance matches that particular entry in the Shadow Knight's records."
"Swallow? I smirked. I wonder how he came up with that name.
"Maybe because he's really fast."
Dynamo laughed and then spun around to land another punch on Vulture.
"You know, like a bird? Well, it's certainly not very intimidating."
"Change of plans, Penumbra. Do you think you can take Swallow on by yourself? We don't need a third supervillain thrown into the mix just now."
"Don't worry, I can take him,"
the blonde called as she zipped up into the air and got Swallow to follow her.
"You guys just take care of the other two, all right?"
"Oh, we will. Just get him away from the fight." Penumbra did another little mid-air dance with the new supervillain, and it looked like she made him mad enough that when she darted away from the park, he followed right after her and forgot all about Dynamo, Harpy, and Vulture.
"So what do you want me to do, Miles?"
Norma chirped as she glanced over at me from her hiding place. "Well, I want you to climb up into that tree as high as you can go, and when I give the signal, throw one of your smoke grenades down at Elizabeth."
"What did I do to piss you off?"
"Not a damn thing. You'll have to move fast if you want to get out of the way, but that should give me just enough time to get the webbing into place while Harpy and Vulture can't see anything."
"You got it,"
Norma said, and then she started to climb. I smiled at the sight of my mousy assistant as she pulled herself up onto the lowest branch of the tree, and then she began to quickly climb with all the skill of an average rock climber. Norma hadn't even needed a reminder that she had all the climbing skills she needed, and I was pleased that she seemed to be more confident lately. Of course I knew that half her confidence came from the sleek suit that I had designed for her, since it was a hell of a lot more flattering than the normal, frumpy, flowered outfits that my assistant usually wore. Still, her suit didn't do very much to enhance her powers, but instead, it was designed to support and protect her, until she figured out that the ability to be average at absolutely everything was actually the most badass superpower of all. She'd figure it out herself eventually. I just had to keep hinting at it. I turned my attention back to my girlfriend, just as Harpy and Vulture dove back down to attack her from both sides. Harpy aimed her spiky skin at Elizabeth's legs to try to knock her off balance, but she didn't stumble backward into Vulture's talons like the supervillains wanted her to. Instead, Dynamo did a backflip, so the toe of her boot caught Harpy on the chin and propelled her high into the air. As the black-haired superheroine flipped back down toward the ground, her boot almost collided with Vulture, too, but the taloned supervillain launched herself into the air just in time to avoid her kick. Harpy was one tough fucking bird if she could take two hits from Dynamo and still be upright.
They continue to return to the same trees.
Eileen purred into my ear.
They seem to prefer the angle of attack that they can get from there, and they haven't changed trees since Dynamo showed up. They appear to only change which branches they return to.
Perfect, I said. The two supervillains attacked Dynamo again, but my robotic assistant was right. Their attacks were just about as predictable as their return to the treetops. So even though they were both fast, they relied too heavily on their speed, and as a result, their attacks themselves weren't really all that powerful. At least, not compared to my own team. The next time Harpy and Vulture launched themselves back toward the treetops, I waited a few seconds until I knew they were about to dive back down, and then, just as the treetops started to rustle with their movements, I prepared to strike. "Now, Norma," I said. As my mousy assistant flung a smoke grenade down at Elizabeth, my girlfriend rolled out of the way. While the grenade started to fill the air with thick smoke, Dynamo retreated back toward me, but I just stepped past her and aimed my arm up at the treetops. I heard Harpy and Vulture crash to the ground and start to cough, so I fired my webbing solution at the top branches of the trees where the two supervillains had been returning to. I had damn near perfected the webbing technology that I'd taken from the villain Tarantula Tor, and I had been eager for an excuse to use it again. After I fired as much webbing as I thought was necessary, it left a thin net of the solution suspended between the two trees used by the supervillains. There was still a thick cloud of smoke on the ground below, but I was willing to bet that Harpy and Vulture had recovered from their initial surprise, and were now about to dart back up toward the treetops again. And that was right where I wanted them. When the two supervillains sprang back up from the ground to hide in the trees, they collided right into the webbing and were caught fast, just like flies in a spider web. They wouldn't be stuck there long, because they were bound to cut themselves free if they tried hard enough, but I didn't plan to give them that much time. I dashed forward, aimed my arm up at both villains, and fired my palm blasters right at the center of Vulture's forehead. The taloned supervillain didn't even have a chance to look surprised, because as soon as I shot him, his head exploded against the sticky webbing, so the white mesh was instantly stained with dark blood and pieces of his brain that looked like raw meat from down on the ground.
Damn.
Dynamo whistled as she and Norma came up behind me.
You didn't even give him time for any last words.
They're always the same. It's always some version of, "No, please don't kill me," or "I swear I'll kill you," or something about the goddamn Shadow Knight.
Too bad he doesn't run things anymore,
Norma said into the comms. Too bad for him, but too good for us, I said with a smirk. It sure as hell makes cleaning up all this garbage a lot easier. I turned my palm blaster toward Harpy now, but the moment I fired, I knew that I was too late. Harpy had twisted and turned so much against the webbing that her spikes had cut right through the sticky stuff, so she tumbled down just before my shot hit the web behind her. The moment her feet touched the ground, Harpy hissed to make her spikes even bigger, and then she half ran, half flew straight at Dynamo.
Fuck!
Elizabeth shouted as she spun to the side to avoid the hit. Keep her occupied, I said as I dodged Harpy's next attack. But as Harpy ran back and forth between the two of us, I realized two things. One, she was too fast for us to get in a good hit, unless we were able to keep her in one spot for more than half a second. And two, she'd clearly been injured somehow when she had slammed into the webbing. Otherwise, she would have run past us and then just flown away to some other area of the park or even the city, especially now that her partner was dead. But instead, she acted like a cornered animal who was too wounded to escape, but too feral to surrender. Ah! Can you get a clear shot, Norma? I asked after I dodged another swing of her spiked arm.
No, she's too fast, and she's too close to both of you. I'd end up shooting one of you instead.
I doubted that, since Norma should just be able to channel the accuracy of an average competitive sharpshooter, but now didn't seem like the right time to remind her of that. And since it might set her progress back if she accidentally shot Elizabeth or me, I figured that really just left us with one option. We would just have to beat the shit out of her ourselves. Go for the kidneys, I told Dynamo. I think her back is injured.
On it,
my girlfriend replied. I wondered what made the supervillain able to fly, since she didn't exactly have wings, but based on her attacks even before her injury, she hadn't exactly flown around like a bird. It was much more of a series of quick climbs and descents, almost like she jumped more than she actually flew. The next time Harpy hurtled away from me to launch herself at Elizabeth again, I fired the taser in the elbow of my suit after her. It caught her just under the left ass cheek, and the electricity sparked between several of her metal spikes. She stumbled, but continued to limp forward. But by then, Elizabeth had the advantage over her. My girlfriend had stepped around to the back of the supervillain, and she slammed her gauntleted fist into Harpy's lower back. Dynamo immediately snatched her hand back like it hurt. So, the spikes really must have been something, if she could feel it through my gauntlets. But she recovered quickly from her surprise. As I sprinted toward the two women, Dynamo spun Harpy around so she could expose the skin just underneath her chin. It was the one area of her body that didn't seem to have any spikes. Immediately, Elizabeth gave the supervillain such a powerful uppercut that Harpy staggered backward until her spine slammed into a tree trunk. Her head rocked back against the tree, but it wasn't enough to drop her to the ground. Still, it was just enough to throw her off balance, so while she tried to recover from the hit, I fired both palm blasters at her, and her skull broke apart just like vultures had. Her corpse collapsed to the ground with a soft thud, but to my surprise, her spikes didn't automatically retract now that she was dead. Huh. That would make taking one of them with us that much easier. All clear, Norma. You can come down now and get me one of those spikes to take back to the mansion.
Well.
Elizabeth sighed as she turned toward me.
That wasn't so bad, was it?
It certainly wasn't our worst. Penumbra, how's it going on your end?
On my way back now. I didn't want to interrupt you. Any trouble with, Swallow? No, he was mostly just all flash but no bang.
And did you finish him?
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah, he's dead. He came at me with a little throwing knife, so I didn't really feel like I had, you know, any choice.
Oh, of course you didn't. Good job. Now hurry back here. Norma had jumped back down from the tree by now, but she ran back toward our van before she rejoined us. She had kept her surgeon's kit in the van, since she didn't want it to weigh her down, and we had enough time for her to go get it before we needed to leave. After all, the cops were too scared to even breathe in Grayville, and they were so damn grateful for every supervillain we killed that they wouldn't have arrested us unless Optimo himself showed up and ordered them to. And even then, the odds might still play out in our favor. For years, the cops had seen the Shadow Knight arrest and imprison one supervillain after another, only for the villains to break out of prison, just like they always did, and then go on another rampage to kill more civilians and more cops. Shadow Knight usually managed to hunt them down again, but since he refused to kill even the worst ones, the cycle always started right back over again. Until I came along, anyway. That was one of the nice things about how much the cops appreciated our work, since they tended to be so grateful that there was one less, or, in this case, three less, supervillains for them to fight. It meant that we hardly ever had to actually clean up our messes. So now, all we had to do was take one of Harpy's spikes for a sample back to my workshop at the mansion, and then we just needed to get the fuck out of here, before the press showed up with all their pesky questions about whether the supervillains' deaths were justified or not, and just who I was supposed to be, and what Optimo meant when he called me a terrorist. I didn't need that shit. "Did her spikes hurt your hand?" I asked Elizabeth. My girlfriend flexed her fingers a few times and then took off her glove, but the skin underneath was still intact. There was a slight bruise that was just beginning to form in the center of her palm, and it looked like it might turn a nasty shade of purple before it healed up a few minutes later.
"No, it's fine. I've got regenerative abilities, remember?"
"Oh, I remember everything about all of your abilities," I said with a smirk. "But still, I'd really like to take a look at that spike when we get home. It must be a pretty powerful metal if you could still feel it through the gauntlet. Maybe some kind of new alloy that's mixed with a biological component, or possibly..." Elizabeth crossed the distance between us, ripped off my helmet, and kissed me before I could finish my sentence. I let her lips slide across my own, and then I felt her tongue graze between my lips, so I slid my fingers into her black hair and opened my mouth to let our tongues explore each other's mouths. There was nothing better than the feeling of my gorgeous girlfriend in my arms right after we successfully killed another supervillain. As she deepened our kiss even further, Elizabeth pressed her whole body up against mine, until I was tempted to take her right there in the middle of the city park.
"Oh, sorry!"
Penumbra gasped above us.
"I didn't mean to interrupt." "That's okay,"
Dynamo said as she pulled away from our kiss. "Speak for yourself," I muttered, but looked up at the floating superheroine anyway. "Nice of you to join us, Penumbra." The levitation specialist slowly started to float down toward us, but I didn't mind the view of her long, slender legs as they stretched out toward the ground. Penumbra wore her usual short black dress with the design of an eclipsed moon on the front, and her knee-high boots were also black, but they were a little thicker and more protective. I hadn't designed a proper mask or helmet for her yet, so for the moment, her straight blonde hair just floated up into the air around her. She brushed it back behind her ears a few times with the gauntlets that I had created to amplify her powers. But then she gave up and just let her long hair continue to float all around her.
"Yes, thank you for taking care of that little surprise."
"Yeah, I'm sure we could have taken him, but it made it a lot easier to only deal with two of those assholes instead of three."
"It's weird though, right?"
Penumbra asked as she continued to float down until she hovered just above the ground.
"Hoppy and Vulture never work with anybody. Got it?"
Norma announced as she burst back through the trees with her surgeon's kit in hand. "We only need one spike, but if you happen to take a couple extra just in case, well, that's okay too."
"Oh, I hate this part,"
Penumbra said as she turned her pale blue eyes away from Harpy's corpse.
"You mean the part where Miles uses his enemies to make us all more badass and powerful than before?" "Well, not that part exactly. I just meant the gruesome bits, that's all."
"Did you not just slam the supervillain Swallow into the ground so hard that he landed like a meteor?"
Eileen chimed in over the comms.
"Is that not gruesome?"
"I guess so. It just seems different in the moment or something."
Norma knelt down and started to saw off a section of the supervillain's arm. And while she worked, I turned back to Elizabeth and Penumbra. Penumbra had said something that I had been thinking ever since we showed up here, and I wanted to see what they both thought about it to see if they agreed with me. "So, you were saying that Harpy and Vulture never work together," I told Penumbra. "And you're absolutely right."
"Well, what about Swallow? Does he usually work with anyone?"
"Negative,"
Eileen replied.
"He is a minor supervillain who only has half a dozen arrest records, but only two of those were in his supervillain identity. The other four arrests were when he was just acting as a civilian, but there is no mention that he ever worked with others.
So what does that mean? Why would these three villains suddenly decide to work together? Maybe they panicked after the Shadow Knight's death?
Norma called over her shoulder as she sawed at Harpy's dense skin.
Or maybe they panicked when they saw that the evil genius is going around town and killing every supervillain he finds.
True. But I don't know if that's enough of a reason for them to change their lifelong habits.
Then what is a good enough reason?
I'm not completely sure. But I have a feeling that they didn't just decide to team up on their own. They were too well coordinated.
A lot of the supervillains seem extra coordinated lately.
Yeah, I think so too.
And all done!
Norma said as she waved a spiked piece of flesh toward us.
Ugh, you enjoyed that too much.
I think she enjoys it a perfectly average amount, I said with a grin. Now let's get out of here before another supervillain suddenly decides to show up. We can talk more on the way back to the mansion. Norma slipped the strip of flesh into the small ice chest that she had brought with her, and then we all headed back toward the van. The park was completely quiet behind us as we reached the sidewalk perimeter, but just as we started toward the van itself, Eileen hummed in our ears.
Someone is hacking all the television feeds,
my robotic assistant said.
That includes the billboards across from you.
What billboards?
Shit. I sighed and then pointed at the electronic billboards just across the street. Is the whole city getting hacked?
Yes,
Eileen said.
It is.
But before my AI could tell me anything else, the billboards blinked, hissed, and then the images on every single screen began to broadcast the same pale, angular face with puffy eyebrows and teeth that looked oddly pointed when he smiled. It was the fucking maniac. Hello, citizens of Greyville. The maniac giggled as he leaned closer to the camera.
It is on every station.
Eileen confirmed.
I guess he really wants his message to get out.
It has been some time since we all played together, And I know how much you have all missed me. Just as much as you have all missed your precious Shadow Knight. A crowd had started to gather along the sidewalk, and their faces were all transfixed on the maniacs, while some people began to reach out to hold each other's hands, as if that would magically keep them safe from the maniac's clutches. I was tempted to just load our shit back into our van and head out, but I had a feeling that the maniac meant his message especially for me. After all, I had killed his favorite plaything, and now that the Shadow Knight was gone, the maniac had to direct his attention somewhere else. I will bathe this soul city in blood, the maniac said as he continued to smile for the camera. When I give the word, you will all begin to kill each other, and as much as you hate the idea now, you will soon relish each scrap of skin that you tear from each other's bodies. You will not be able to help yourself, because I will make it impossible for you to resist. People in the crowd began to whimper, and some even started to run. It will be my masterpiece. It'll be utter chaos, and no one will be safe. No, don't run. I glanced at Elizabeth, but my girlfriend had her turquoise eyes fixed on the closest billboard, like the maniac could somehow feel her glare through the hacked feed. You see, as much as you might not want to play my game. He trailed off as the hacked feed switched from his face to one of the bridges over the Ashen River into Greyville.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
You actually have no choice in the matter. The maniac's voice finished. The bridge on the feed exploded. Dust and rubble shot up into the air like half a dozen bombs had been set off. And the moment the dust settled, it was clear that was exactly what had happened. There was a huge gap in the middle of the bridge, so there was no way for anyone to get across it. Then the feed switched to another bridge, only to show the exact same thing happened there.
That only leaves one bridge, right? Yeah, and that's the only goddamn way in or out of the city.
Oh, I don't think it'll be there for long, I said. Sure enough, the feed flipped back to the maniac's face, just long enough for him to flash a pointed smile at the camera, and then it switched to the last bridge over the Ashen River. Then, the last way in or out of Greyville exploded into a cloud of dust and fire.